The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. I'm Andre Middleton, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'll be hosting Art Focus on Tuesday mornings from 11:30 to noon on a bi-weekly basis, alternating with the estimable Joseph Galvan. Thank you for joining us. Today, I will be interviewing Judy Jacobson of the Hap Gallery and Kyle Vanuello of Dot Dot Dash. Good morning to you both. But before we get going, first up, some local art news. Established in 2010, the Portland Biennial is a major survey of Oregon artists who are defining and advancing the state's contemporary art landscape. Building on the success of its predecessors, the Portland 2016 Biennial is a two-month celebration of the here and now that showcases 34 artists at 25 partner venues in 11 communities across the state. This is by far the largest and most comprehensive survey of Oregon art ever. Please visit www.portlandbiennial.org to get more info about the biennial that runs from July 9th through September 18th. The Regional Arts and Culture Council invites nonprofit organizations and individual artists in Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas counties to submit proposals for artistic projects and events planned in the calendar year 2017. The first step of applying for a RAC project grant is to submit an intent to apply form online at racc.culturegrants.org by Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016 at 5 o'clock. So you got a little time. Let's get those ideas flowing. RAC project grants support a wide range of artistic activities throughout the Portland Tri-County region. A variety of projects will be considered as long as they involve the creation or presentation of a performance, exhibit, or other work of art that is available to the general public. Other eligibility requirements may apply, and successful proposals would be addressed as the time comes. Well, like I said earlier, today my guests are Judy Jacobson of the Hap Gallery and Kyle Benuelo of Dot Dot Dash. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
Before we get into more of your backgrounds, can we talk about the current exhibit that brought you into each other's orbits and on our show?
Well, I think it was through Damian Gilley, who's the artist we're showing now at Hap. And we had discussed with Damian having a show over a year and a half now, and we're well on our way to an in-gallery installation. When I heard from Damian that he had hooked up with Dot Dot Dash and had the opportunity to do a virtual reality-based show. So we were extremely excited about this opportunity and said to go for it. And that is basically how I met Kyle.
So Kyle, since Damian is not here, you're going to have to represent him in his absence. What was the inception of your collaboration and who came to who? And can you give us a little bit more information about what's the name of his exhibit again?
Specular.
Specular. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, sure thing. Damian and I have been friends for a while, and I've just really admired his work that I've seen across the city and in other places. And as a studio, we opened up a residency we're calling New Forms, which really seeks to connect artists with new technology. And so through that collaboration or time, we gave Damian space and access to technology and offered our skill sets as a team to really help him bring his vision to life in virtual reality, this new, very exciting medium.
Nice. Can you tell me more about the residency and some of the exploration that people have been engaging in utilizing this new technology?
Sure. Yeah, this is actually our first one. So it was a learning process for us. Damian was really excited and set on using virtual reality. And we worked with him to develop this custom tool, like I said, to really bring his vision to life. So it's this modeling tool that offers him the ability to draw lines of various weights, to connect those to model objects, to infinitely scale those objects vertically, horizontally, and in any direction within this custom environment that he desired. So this tool really gave him free range, but from there, it was really on him to create the piece, and the composition of it, if you see it at Hap Gallery, is really amazing, the way that he's reached this digital scale and space things in this really intuitive way. And it's really engaged participants to move throughout it, I think, with the original intent that he had.
If you don't mind me saying, I have found the Hap Gallery to be extremely accessible. It's street level, it's full of glass, it's easy to see, it's easy to connect with. But I have to admit, I was very struck and curious when I walked by there a few weeks ago and I just saw, you know, this empty space with, you know, this black, you know, headpiece in the middle of the room. Based on some of your past exhibitions, what drew you to the notion of having, of creating a very inward space in regards to the Hap Gallery?
It seemed like the perfect counterpoint to what Damien's work was all about, which was creating this infinite virtual space that's entirely non-real. So it followed to us that the gallery should be empty, and that should really accentuate the difference between the virtual and the real.
No, it's interesting because I've been able to see some of Damien's other work, and mm-hmm. this is like you said, this is new territory for him. But he's done a lot of actually, you know, tactile 2D, 3D work before. Why did you guys discuss having, you know, almost it being like, you know, a group show of one? I mean, was there ever an issue of maybe having a paradox or a counterbalance between his previous work and his new current work?
We talked about various possibilities to bring some visual element to the gallery, but each time we came up with an idea, we decided it wasn't the right thing and that it'd be better to keep it surprising mm-hmm. and not to basically hint at what person would see, but allow it to be an exploration when they came.
It's funny, a couple of TBAs ago, back in 2014, they had a room at the Works where they would have two people dance and interact completely unprompted, completely just, you know, there'd be one light in the room, there'd be some sound, and there'd be two people that would interact in this room together. And I thought about that in the context of this piece because I luckily was in the space by myself. Mm-hmm. So I was able to put on the headset, walk around the space. I didn't bump into anybody. I eventually got comfortable in realizing that as a blind person, I wasn't going to just bump into a desk or bump into, once I got to navigate the space. That really, I guess, slows down the process of people being able to interact with this piece because basically they have to wait in line.
Yes. It's an artifact of the situation. I understand from Kyle that we have to keep this place pretty empty and clean so that it renders correctly, and we're not in a position to have a multi-headset environment. So it simply is a requirement of the show.
Right.
This one's focused on a singular headset and a really immersive experience. So, you know, while you say it does slow down things, the benefit of that is it makes it really immersive for individuals mm-hmm. who are able to explore this space for, I guess, as long as...
Well, without distraction as well.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking slowing things down.
No.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, obviously, First Thursday has been around for quite some time now. And I have to admit, a lot of friends and I have lamented, you know, the stare... sidestep, 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 stare, sidestep, sidestep, sidestep. So it was nice to not feel like I had to, you know, I was just really able to breathe it in.
Well, it certainly forces a different kind of viewing.
Yes.
It has to be by its nature participatory and physical.
Yes.
Which I think is part of the benefit of this kind of work.
Yes.
Was that your first time trying virtual reality?
As a matter of fact, it was. And I think that had played a part in it as well, because I can imagine if someone is familiar with riding a horse, the first time when they ride another horse, even though it's a different horse, they already know what to expect. So for me, I've never put on a VR helmet. I'd never done the Google VR thing with my phone. I was completely a virgin to this experience. And it was disconcerting at first, but I have a little background. I used to be a teacher for the blind, so I've had to participate in exercises where I had to subdue my visual input. So in that regard, it was like once it came on and my eyes got accustomed to it, also being a bit of a Trekkie fan, I had this whole like virtual reality, like I'm in the holodeck. So it was a wonderful experience. I mean, that's one reason I really wanted to have you guys come on the show, because even though we talked about it on my last thing, the opportunity to meet you and talk to you about it was really, really something exciting for me.
I think that's what's been, you know, really amazing about this opportunity as well, is it is a lot of people's first experience with VR. So for Judy and Hap Gallery to really offer Damien and us the opportunity to showcase digital work in a gallery setting has been eye-opening for a lot of the visitors.
I would say most of the visitors have never had a VR experience. And we have many people who come back numerous times and bring friends and family. So it's operated in a very different way than a typical gallery show, in that it feels more like an outreach to the community in general. We have a wide age range. We have a broader range of participants than you typically see.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I mean, obviously, the gallery experience, there's many facets to it, you know. And can you tell us a little about the inception of Hap Gallery? How long have you been around? Why'd you pick this particular location? And what's been some of the aesthetic that you've tried to imbibe or make sure that people reflected your aesthetic within the gallery space itself?
Well, we've been open about 3 years. They opened in November of 2013. And we picked the space simply because it was available.
Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah. And we opened with the idea to show contemporary work and to experiment with what it means to be a gallery. And we've pretty much held to that, which has meant that we do not represent artists and that we are open to a wide range of shows and aesthetics and medium and experiences, and which has left us looking for what we would feel are the strongest artists that we can entice and that we would like to show and to bring them in. I have an associate director who comes from a very different background. And between us, we share a range of points of view, which I think makes it a much more interesting gallery than if it were simply a single vision.
Great, great. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'd love to hear your, if you don't mind, your pitch to get someone to come down and see it. I mean, granted, I used to work right on the corner from it, and I've seen amazing work. Colorful, stark, large, small, intimate stuff that really draws you in. But it is an eclectic space, but yet still accessible. I mean, so what would be your pitch to someone who, say, you know, is coming from Northeast Portland or from Selwood or from Clackamas? I mean, why should they consider stopping by the HAP, especially if they can't buy anything that's in there? I mean, how does that work?
Well, that's only this month they can't buy anything.
Okay.
But we hear from people who come in, and I think this is what I'm proud about as well, is that it's always a surprise and it's always interesting. And it's always strong work. We can't promise a particular aesthetic or a particular philosophical point of view, but we try to make shows that are exciting.
Nice. Nice. Oh, and I can attest to that. I think you're doing a great job at that. Because like I said, you know, walking along Flanders in the Pearl District with all these, you know, tall buildings, and you walk by the space and it really just jumps right at you because you don't expect it. You don't expect it. It's really nice. Kyle, what else do you have percolating over at ...? Can you tell people about ...? And how they might interact with it or what's going on over there?
Totally. We're a creative technology and production studio. So we're playing with a lot of different technologies to really bring spaces and objects to life. We actually primarily partner with brands and do a lot of commercial work. But these are always really fun opportunities to create work in a more artistic setting. Something pretty cool that we're working on right now is a 3-story tall LED sculpture that's going to be debuting at the Nines Hotel later this month. It integrates soundscapes to trigger light. It should be really, really beautiful.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. Tell me more about the residency. I know you said this is the first iteration of it, the first time. Do you guys have the resources to keep it going? How do people find out about it?
Totally. To be honest, this was our first time, so we're learning. I think internally we're going to, you know, talk with Damien too and Judy and figure out how to best move forward. But we certainly are interested in working with artists in the future. I think for us, it's offered a new perspective and in areas that we've been able to offer skills and insights that we have, artists can offer that back to us. And so we look forward to many future collaborations.
It's interesting. Right now, I think it's fair to say that Portland is in a bit of a maker renaissance right now. And I think the parallel renaissance has been the rise of the dot-com startups also here, when you look at Elemental and Uber and a lot of other Simple. And this seems to be such a nice collaboration, or you know, you get these, like, you know, these Venn diagrams where you see all these overlapping spaces. And it's nice to see, you know, such a, you know, an established art scene and then this new emerging technology scene overlapping, because I really think it really speaks to what the future may hold. I mean, I admit, when I was in there, I could imagine being inside of a warehouse with, you know, like 1,000 other people in my own little cube, and we're all in these cubes simultaneously, and maybe we see each other as points of light within this virtual space. I mean, the possibilities really did seem endless.
Yeah, I think we just need groups like HAP and people like Judy to support more art in this space, especially in Portland. You know, it's very prevalent in cities like San Francisco and New York, but we're seeing more and more of it here, and groups focused on this space here. Right now, actually, in Pioneer Square, there's an LED sculpture that is sound reactive, and so it's cool to see that there, and at the same time, you know, Specular happening at HAP Gallery, and I think we'll see a lot more of it.
Judy, if you mind asking, what was your first experience with Specular, and did you get to see it as a finished piece, or did you get to see it evolve?
I saw it in an evolutionary phase. What Damien did with Dot Dot Dash is they sort of recreated the gallery space at the Dot Dot Dash Studios, and Damien imagined and built it there, and then they brought it over to the gallery. So I saw it at the studios in a very early form and got to play with the handsets a little bit.
Nice.
And it was very exciting. It was extremely exciting.
One of the things that I found exciting about this piece as well is that, in addition to once you put your headset, the headpiece on, is there an actual title for that piece of equipment?
It's called the HTC Vive.
Okay, so once I get the HTC Vive, but I used to have those phones. I don't want to plug HTC too much. It was interesting that, in addition to just being immersed and falling in love with just the space, one of your employees said, hey, there are actual structures that you can interact with inside the space. And granted, you would see them randomly inside the space, but I didn't realize how I could interact with them until that was communicated to me. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you allow people to stumble onto it, or do you share it, and what were some of the thoughts that Damien had in creating these constructs that were actually interactive?
Well, he has five points that he would call the specific interactive points in the piece, and they really are similar to what he used to do in installation work, in that there are moments where the visual aligns just perfectly with what he has drawn, and everything kind of snaps into place in a very special way. They're very subtle and they're hard to find. So of these positions in Specular, there is an experience that's like an accelerator. If you walk through it, there is a mirror, what he calls a mirror, which is one looks one way on one side and then disappears when you go through it. And there are a number of elements like that. And we certainly can guide people and do guide people. Some people want to be shown. Some people want to explore on their own. So we play it by ear.
Nice. So what did you experience when you went through it the first time? I mean, I'm assuming that, have you interacted with VR technology in the past? Were you new to this process yourself, or were you new to this, just this overlap of art and VR?
So we have a good-sized team at Dot Dot Dash, and we've built virtual reality experiences previously. But I think, yeah, what Judy was saying about this piece in particular that's so compelling is, you know, it takes moving and viewing to sort of catch these sight lines that Damien's created, and it's very participatory in that way. The HTC Vive hardware is defined as sort of room scale, so you can physically move around this space that's about 15 feet by 15 feet. Additionally, they weren't activated in this particular piece, but there are inputs, these controllers that allow you to sort of like grab and touch things. And that's how Damien created those, you know, this piece. It was all hand drawn.
Oh, nice.
Modeled. So, yeah, it's really compelling to be able to move around objects and catch those sight lines.
Right. The piece is so sensitive to positioning that you never really revisit the same view. So we find visitors keep asking if we're changing it. And it's so it's very rich experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, that sounds incredible. And like I said, speaking of someone who actually got to experience it, and we'll do so again before it ends on July 9th.
Yes.
It's an amazing show. I heartily recommend people go see it. Hap Gallery. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to mention that Damien and Kyle will be giving a talk July 5th at 6 o'clock. So it is an opportunity for people to hear more detail and ask questions.
And that'll be at the Hap Gallery.
At the Hap Gallery, yes.
Is that 916 Northwest?
Northwest Flanders.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I remembered the address. But please tell us, what's coming up next for the Hap Gallery? July 9th is right around the corner.
It is. Next month, starting on July 14th, we have Wendy Redstar. She's doing a sculptural installation called Tokens, Gold, and Glory.
Nice.
It'll be very, very interesting.
Nice. She's been quite busy as of late.
Yes.
She's been quite busy, yeah.
She just got the Hallie Ford Foundation Fellowship.
Yes, she did. And she had an amazing, she was amazing, had amazing part in the Portland Art Museum's exhibit on contemporary Native photographers. That was an incredible exhibit.
It was wonderful.
It really, really, really was wonderful. So, Kyle, what's next for you, business wise, creativity wise? I mean, what new boundaries are you going to be pushing over at ...
Yeah, like I said, we're working on LED sculpture. We're working on a lot of things in the VR space, and really trying to think about both the spectator element and the content for the participant, and building some unique things in that space. But yeah, many future projects coming out. And if you want to check those out, you can go to ... .io is our website. And we have all our social handles there where we keep people updated with what we're working on.
Great, thank you. Not that I want you to give any trade secrets. You mentioned that you work with a lot of branding, a lot of companies for branding. How are, I guess, and this is, you know, using a broad brush, how are companies starting to embrace or conceive using VR as part of their branding and customer interactive experience?
They're really, really excited about it. So one of the experiences that we designed and developed was something called Court Vision, and it was in Toronto at NBA All-Star Week. And it was centered around Google's Tilt Brush app, which allows you to paint in space. And so there were these five participant stations where people were able to come and try VR, create pieces, and have that work sent back to them following their session, as well as view artists that we had commissioned within that space, with different sculptors and graffiti artists and graphic designers. But it was this idea of bridging technology, art, culture, and sport. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of interest from our brand partners in building these experiences, and have a few coming out in the future. So.
Nice. One last question for you before we wrap things up, because we're getting close to the top of the hour. How would you describe the evolving art scene from your perspective, in regards to not just some of the, not just displacement, but you said you've been doing this for 3 years, obviously you did your research before you jumped into it. How is it still continuing to evolve from your perspective?
I'm not sure I find that an easy question to answer. I have learned how extremely strong the art scene is here. I think there are an increasing number of wonderful artists in Portland, and I worry for their futures in this community with the stresses we all know about. Mm-hmm. And I guess I view it as a more political issue for people, how to keep the art scene viable in a creative and dynamic way.
It's interesting you put it that way, because I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, so I had access to Manhattan and Soho and the art scene in the 70s as a young person. I mean, I'm older than I look. But it seems to me that at times Portland is in a very unique space. I mean, you're right, you've got emerging technologies, you've got a fair bit of capital, you've got an increase in population as we get closer to a critical mass, so to speak, of participants and theater goers and people who are going to galleries. Yet there is still connectivity within Portland, I think, is really viable and important, where there's allowing people to collaborate, allowing people to share space, allow people to just enjoy themselves and have fun.
Or just open businesses.
Or to open business, exactly. I think, you know, that having, you know, organizations like PICA, having organizations like PNCA just moving downtown, having, I mean, there are so many theaters in town. Yeah. And I guess, you know, oh, there's so many galleries, and, you know, galleries are starting to not just starting to, but they're, I think they're finding spaces in different parts of town as well. I mean, obviously, the downtown area and Pearl District are kind of like the gravity well, so to speak, but there are spaces in North Portland, there are spaces in, you know, Belmont and, yeah, and reaching out Montevilla way. I mean, it's a very exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Extremely.
Yeah, it really is. Well, once again, Kyle, thank you so much for coming. Once again, I can't thank you both enough for coming and picking part and participating in this. Judy, keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the great work. Well, before I wrap up, I want to make sure that I let people know a little bit about still what's coming up. Specular at the Hap Gallery, 916 Northwest Flanders, open 11 to 6 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays.
It is.
Now through July 9th. And don't forget that they're having at 6 o'clock an artist talk with the artist. His name again?
Damian Gilley.
And Kyle will be in hand as well, yep, to talk about Specular and some of the work that went into it and what they're going to dream up next. The Portland Biennial is happening from July 9th through September 18th. Please go visit their website at portlandbiennial.org to get more information about that across the state event. That's going to be a lot of fun. And the RAC project grant intend to apply deadline via an online form is at rac.culturegrants.org by Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016 at 5 o'clock. You got a little time for that. You'll be able to find photos, links, as well as our guest info on our show page, www.kbufm.com/artfocus. Please follow the link to our Facebook page and like us. If you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast of the show online later this afternoon. Probably like around 2 or 3, I guess. As you know, it is my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you are a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on our show. It is also my goal to share information relevant to artists as well. When I learn about residencies, grant deadlines, and call for artists, you'll hear about it here on this show as well as our Facebook page. One more shout out. Kyle, you mentioned the sound activated interactive exhibit that's happening on the Pioneer Square.
Yep.
That's a part of the House Guest Residencies. Why don't you go Google House Guest Pioneer Square? I'll give you more information. I think there's still 3 or 4 more of those happening over the course of the summer, clear into October. Well, we're going out to the music of Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thanks again for joining us in Art Focus and have a great day. Peace.
Caribou Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film premiere screening of Paying the Price for Peace, the story of S. Brian Wilson, Sunday, July 3rd at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Vietnam veteran S. Brian Wilson was run over and nearly killed by a military train during a nonviolent protest in 1987. Paying the Price for Peace tells the story of Wilson's activism and exposes the truth about the United States' addiction to war and the lies it perpetuates in order to wage ongoing violence. S. Brian Wilson and the film's producer will be in attendance. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio's premiere screening of Paying the Price for Peace, the story of S. Brian Wilson, Sunday, July 3rd at the Clinton Street Theater.